going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
And here we go, Digital Adele back with another Hoops Profile Beyond the Backboard podcast for you with my co-host, Matt Hanifin. How are you doing today, Matt?
Doing good, man. Doing good. A lot of conference tournaments going on right now. Head spinning everywhere, but I'm doing
insane
good.
Insane amount of basketball going on with the conference tournaments, and I mean high quality basketball at that. So I'm right there with you. In fact, while we were recording this, Texas plays Texas A&M. I'm just a big fan of Trey Johnson. I don't even need to continue scouting him at this point. I know what he is. But man, do I love watching that kid play. So yeah, I'm with you. I'm excited. Tell the people where they can find you and follow you, get more of your work before we kick this thing off.
You can find me at MPH_A24 on Twitter. Still not on Blue Sky. You can find me at hot.hoops.com, vanettasportsmedia.com, mountainwestconnection.com, as well as playback.tv/5RSN. And right now we're on playback.tv/hoopsprofile.
Absolutely. I'm going to continue to tweet out and do our media stuff while we're going, so I'm going to let you go first. Today we are discussing the top 10 wings in the 2025 NBA draft that you should know, so that you can be educated when draft night rolls around. Like, hey, should they have taken that guy? Should they not have? Did they reach? You want to be informed. We want to inform you. And this is going to be the penultimate list before we do our revised big board. And we're going to do a mock draft here at some point as well. So stay tuned for those exciting times. Matt, the top 10 wings in the NBA draft that people should know. Number one is...
Well, before I go into my top 10, I will preface by saying that I don't have any repeating players. So, like,
right.
If you've listened to any of our other three episodes where we did point guards, we did bigs, we did combo guards, I'm not going to have, like, Colin Murray Boyle. Like, not that he plays like a wing, but I'm just saying, like, I'm not going to have any, like, I'm not going to double dip. Like, I'm not going to have, you know, Nick Clifford on the list, even though I guess you could consider him a wing if you want to. I put him in the combo guard list.
Yep.
No spoilers, but you can go back and listen to our previous pod that we did on Tuesday to see where I have him among other combo guards. And please go check out, you know, all of those when you get the chance. So I'm not going to double dip. And so again, like some of the others, I think this one was one of the harder ones to do, especially at the back end of the list. But number one, Scooper Flag. I don't think that's a discussion.
Shocking.
Completely shocking. Coop has been awesome, even though as we're talking, he did suffer an ankle injury in their opening ACC tournament game. I don't think he would be someone who plays again in the ACC tournament. I hope he's healthy enough to play in the NCAA tournament, which is next week. But we really, that all of that's like to be determined. But he's still the unquestionable number one. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I think he's the best player in college basketball, and he wasn't eligible to vote in this most recent presidential cycle because he was 17. He didn't turn 18 until December. So just to give you an idea of like how good he is, he'll get you, you know, 20 points, 8 or 9 rebounds. He makes the right plays. Like, he's not going to force the issue when he doesn't need to. Like, I think his feel for the game offensively is something that's like advanced for someone of his age. And then defensively, like, I don't know if we've gotten like the full, like, you know how he was touted as one of like the best defender. Like, I don't know if we've gotten that full scope of him this year, but he's still been exceptional on the defensive end. Right. He's still, you know, the head of the snake for one of the best defenses in the entire country. He's exceptional. He's an exceptional shot blocker. He's very switchable and he's very instinctive. Like, he does a good job containing his man in space, and he can defend multiple positions. He's very versatile and malleable in that aspect. And so he's the very clear number one on my board, just in general. Like, overall, I don't think that's right. Much of a discussion either.
I am shocked.
He's exceptional, man. He's an exceptional talent. At the team who wins the lottery, not that Dylan Harper, Ace Bailey, or Trey Johnson, Jakob Jonas, whomever, like, they're great consolation prizes. I don't even know if consolation prize is the right word to use for them, but some team is going to be very, very happy that they get Cooper Flagg, obviously. And there's only going to be one of those teams come May.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I always like to make a distinction about, there's generational talents, which Cooper Flagg is borderline, arguably a generational talent. He's not necessarily a generational talent, but he's in that realm where you can discuss it, right?
Yep.
There's franchise leading players, so they're different. They're a lower tier. They can still lead your franchise to success. Put enough pieces around them, they can lead you to a championship. So I think there's different levels to this whenever we start talking about that. And Cooper Flagg is that type of borderline generational type talent. At 6'9", like you said, super young, 205 pounds, literally leads everybody in like every metric across the board in his category. And that includes all of the advanced metrics as well. And so he's clearly the number one guy, and he's that number one guy for a reason. So I'm in a complete agreement with you. There is no shock or, you know, potential, oh my God, I can't believe they have this guy number one. There's none of that. It's pretty much lock it in. Cooper Flagg will be your number one guy. Number two is where we might start seeing a little bit of differentiation if we had repeats on this list. But because we don't, I got my number two guy pretty clearly as Ace Bailey. Ace okay. Bailey's 5'9", according to Matt Hanifin, 6'10", according to his school, 200 pounds. And they list him as a forward slash guard, small forward, but he's clearly a wing to me. There's nothing that he does that says a big, you know? And he's one of the best tough shot makers in his class. That Rutgers team is in some serious trouble. They're not very good, which is a little perplexing when you have two of the top three NBA draft picks on your team. But with all that being said, he still averages 18 points a game, 35% from 47% from the field, 7 rebounds. His defense is getting better and better as the year went on. His ability to facilitate and handle the ball, create his own shot, got better as the year went on. But I have some concerns about Ace Bailey. I have some major concerns when it comes to putting Ace Bailey on my big board above certain people now. And that becomes, as the game gets tighter and the competition gets tougher, he shrinks. Whenever they play good teams and down the stretch of games, he can kind of disappear on you. And that is worrisome to me. That is troublesome. That is not a good trend. Whenever it comes to his ability to make shots, he's unquestionably one of the best, you know, like I said, best tough shot makers. But against, say, for example, in their loss against Michigan, his overall numbers, he was 6-for-12 from the field, only 1-for-4 from three. But down the stretch, he stopped taking shots because they were really tightening the screws. And he was missing shots. Whereas, again, we're not comparing or compiling or doing repeats. When it comes to my big board, there may be some shockers at the end of the season. But that was my number two. Who was your number two, Matt?
It was Ace. Like, I don't... Who else would be in the discussion?
Nobody.
Okay.
If you're not doing repeats.
Well, yeah. Were you considering like putting someone else as a repeat?
Yeah.
Who?
Trey Johnson.
I don't consider him a wing, so.
I mean, he could play both. He could play guard. He could play wing. He's 6'6", long arms. Potentially could do it. He could play either the guard spot or the wing spot.
I guess that's fair. In my head, he's more of like a two.
He is more of a two.
I guess it depends on the context. We see 6'5" guys playing the four. So who am I?
That's my point. In today's NBA, he's position flexible enough.
Yeah.
But we're not doing that. So I can't put him there.
Yeah, no, I still have Ace as my two. It still bugs the hell out of me when he takes tough twos, but that's just part of his game at this point.
Right.
I'm not as concerned. I mean, there is a sample late in the season of that happening, like the concern that you just mentioned, but I think early in the season that was something that wasn't as pertinent late in games.
Right.
And so I'm not... It is a concern. And the unfortunate part of it is, again, like, we won't be able to see him in those high leverage situations in the tournament because the records isn't good enough to be in the tournament. And so we're only able to go off of the games that, you know, we saw during the season. I don't think he was that bad in their loss against USC last night, even though it was a double overtime loss, 17.7 to 13 shooting, 1-of-3 from deep. But to your point, the Michigan one, for example, like, was a bad one. I know he wasn't that good in the game against Minnesota.
Right.
But I'm not to right now. That's not like a huge, huge concern of mine. Cause again, I think there's a decent sample early in the season against some of these neutral site teams like Texas A&M, like Alabama, like where he played well. Again, that's early in the season. We're using just as many games as a sample, one versus the other.
Right.
He's kind of a tough eval to a certain extent just because of, like, again, the shot selection. I've said it before. It just bugs me. Like, but it is what
I can understand that.
Yeah.
Well, so here's where I'm going to go after that, because it starts to get a little murky immediately after Ace Bailey. Some could argue a couple of different people in this spot, but to me, it's clearly Liam McNeely. He's clearly my third best guy in this spot, and that's because there isn't much separation between the rest of the group. Like, Noah Asunge, I'm not really that high on, to be honest. He's a talented player. He may have a bright future. But from what I'm seeing of those games he's playing in Ralph, Ratio Ulam, I don't even know how to pronounce it. he's so inconsistent, wildly inconsistent. He'll show flashes of skill and you're like, oh, that's intriguing. And then other times you just can't even tell he's on the floor. And it's kind of how I felt about who was the kid last year. He was, he played in the NBL, tall, live body at times, but would just disappear for long stretches. What was that kid's name? I can't remember. But anyway,
I'll look this up for you because I'm also having a hard time remembering.
Yeah, let's actually take some time and look that up. I'm going to do it right
Pate.
Now.
No,
that's this year. Dink Pate. I'll have it for you momentarily. Oh, Bobby Klintman. It's who it reminds me of. Bobby Klintman.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, Noah's a little bit more talented, has a little bit more upside, but he reminds me a lot of Bobby Klintman in terms of he just is so wildly inconsistent with his play. Liam, you know what you're going to get. He's pretty steady as it comes as a high-level connector, and he's clearly three to me on this board. Who do you have as three?
I'm surprised you went with McNeely at three.
There's not a lot.
I actually have Rashear Fleming.
Are we putting him in as a... Oh, yeah, he is a wing. That's my fault. Tankathon doesn't have him listed as a wing, so...
They don't.
My apologies. No, they haven't listed as a forward. He plays forward in college.
Well, I find that to be synonymous to an extent.
Yeah. So let me backtrack. I'm with Matt on this.
Yeah.
I will have Rashear Fleming over Liam McNeely because he's a two-way player and he shoots 40 some odd percent from the three-point line. Like he's a 6'9", 240, better athlete.
Yeah.
And potentially be a little bit more than a high level connector.
And I like Liam too. Like, it's not like I'm not trying to knock Liam, but like the finishing and the stuff inside the arc has been a concern when he's not drawing fouls, which he's drawn a lot of fouls.
Right.
He's been around 35% from deep. He's a solid rebounder. I think he's a good team defender. I think there's more playmaking there. But Rashear, right. I think like with the overall production is something that like, again, I talked about this with Nick Clifford. Like, I think he has a high enough floor to where, to some extent, depending, like, if you put him in the right context, it raises his ceiling.
I agree with that.
I mean, he's developed as a shooter over his 3 years. I think the big question with him is, like, is this shooting real? Like, he's shooting 42% on the season after shooting 32% and 29% from three over his first two seasons at St. Joe's. And so, like, is that real? But just at, like, a base level floor, very good rebounder. I think a productive defender, even though sometimes he could be a little bit undisciplined with what he does.
Yeah.
He's, you know, I think he's physical. He's more physical than Liam is. Like, that's something that I like about him. And again, like, I think there's a world where Liam does have a higher ceiling, but for this discussion, like, it's like a 3A, 3B. Like, I hold what Rashear does despite being at a smaller school. I know Liam's missed time this season, so he doesn't have as much of a sample of games under his belt.
Right.
But I just think Rashear's two-way capabilities is something that like I weigh just a little bit more, even though I do think Liam is better with the ball in his hands.
Yeah, I mean, not by much.
I think it's not a big gap, but I think he is better. He's better as like a movement shooter. Like he does a good job like screening. He does a good job. Not that Rashear doesn't, but like there's just things that Liam does that I also like. So again, this isn't like a knock on Liam McNeely as a player.
Yeah, we can disagree on things. We don't always have to agree. I respect your point. I just disagree with it. That's all.
It's fine.
Yeah, no worries. But I agree with you. I would put Fleming over McNeely. Do you have
going up?
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Tantandia products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion. Or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Families agents. Life's better when you're under American Families roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
McNeely next in your order at four? Okay, so at four you have Liam McNeely. I'm really interested in McNeely's measurables because some sites list him at 6'10", some 6'8". Like, how tall is Liam?
He feels closer to 6'8" than 6'10", if I'm being honest. But he'll need to bulk up.
Right. Did you know that he's only 1 year younger than Fleming?
No.
Isn't that crazy? He's like almost 20 on draft night. As a freshman. So that's interesting. But yeah, Liam's advanced stats are not great. They're actually pretty jarring, especially the effective field goal percentage stuff, defensive box plus minus. That stuff is bad. So that's why I have him as a high level connector type guy. And he's going to have to develop into a better team defender.
Yeah.
So I have my reservations and concerns. You're higher on Liam than I am. But, you know, the wing position doesn't have a lot of studs outside of the top two. I would go Noah Asangu for number five over Adu Thoreau, who I have at six. And the only reason I would do that is upside. Because Noah does show the flash, the ability to hit open shots and make threes. And he's just as of a good athlete as Adu. But it's not, he's not great at shooting threes either. So
no,
it's not by a lot. They're like neck and neck in my book. Who would you have as your next pick?
See, this is where I kind of broke my rule.
From
previous pods, I was like, I didn't have this player on this list because I think he's going back to school. I kind of broke my rule, and I did shift 5 through 7 around at least a few different times. So this is ultimately what I came up with. I have Carter Bryant.
That's a surprise. Okay.
But it's with the caveat of if I were to bet my life on it, I think he's going back.
Yeah, I think Carter Bryant's going to go back as well. Who do you have after Bryant?
Caravan.
Over Adu Thoreau and Noah Asangu. Okay.
Well, my also rule of I'm not going to put these international guys on this list if I haven't looked at them.
Oh, that's right. But, you haven't looked at them.
But yeah, I do. I have Thoreau 7.
Okay.
It was like, I'm throwing darts blindly and hoping I stick with one. Whoever is the fifth is I'm going to go with fifth. But like with Bryant, like he's shooting, like there's a relative sample of him. I think like he's shooting 37-38% from deep over his last like 15 games or something like that.
Right.
He's not someone who's incredibly involved with the offense, but you could see the athleticism. You could see the defensive versatility. the playmaking, or not the playmaking, the defensive playmaking, not playmaking in general.
Right.
So there's flashes, but I like the player, and I think he's gotten better as the season's gone on. That doesn't mean he's going to come out, but I just think his floor isn't as high as Thero, or it's not as high as Caravan. But this is one where it's like, I don't know. I just have like a gut feel.
So let's do a quick reset then.
Going by the
gut. We got Cooper, my gut feeling.
Yeah.
We have Cooper Flagg for me. This is my list. Cooper Flagg, Ace Bailey, Rashear Fleming, Liam McNeely for a do throw five. And then I have Caravan would be my sixth. And so that brings us to where we are right now for my six. Who's your six? Run it down for the people real quick.
Caravan.
Run down your list. I'm sorry.
Okay. I have Cooper, Ace, Fleming, McNeely, Bryant, Caravan, and Thero is my top seven.
Gotcha. I'm not using Carter Bryant because I did think he's going to go back to school. I haven't saw 1 minute of Noah Penda play basketball yet, so I won't have him on my list. I will have Darian Williams from Texas Tech. Darian Williams will be on my list. Actually,
you're not going to hear a counter argument from me about that.
Yeah, Darian Williams will be next on my list. And I know I definitely won't hear anything out of you about it because he's one of your favorites from
Nevada.
There it is. The Nevada bias strong with one Matt Hanifin.
The next time Nevada has someday, they're going to win a national championship and have the number one overall pick. And I am going to be insufferable, but that day is not today.
That's some vision you got there.
That when Luke Babbitt got drafted in the lottery, it was like the greatest day of my life. Or at least I think.
I think the NBA's learned her lesson.
Listen, man, he was a sniper. And now he's a championship level coach in my area.
There it is. Champion Luke Babbitt.
Yeah, he won a regional title his first year at a school in this area.
I like it.
But anyway, I have Yaxel Lendenborg is at eight for me, and then I have Darian nine.
So you're projecting him as a wing.
Yeah. I don't think he's a big, so I think he's a wing.
I don't think he's a wing, and I don't think he's a big either. That's my problem whenever I scout Lendenborg, is I don't see his fit in the NBA, because as much as like some of the things flashed at me, one of the things that really sticks out, he's not quite athletic enough to be a wing, and he's not quite aggressive enough to be that type of scoring wing. And he doesn't guard well enough to guard other wings. He's not big enough, strong enough to guard other bigs. So I'm actually having a very hard time getting on board with the Yaxel Lendenborg the more I watch him.
I think he'll have to shoot the ball better to be a wing.
Right.
Like, I think that's the biggest, for me, that's the biggest swing skill.
Yeah.
Not that he's a poor shooter, he just doesn't shoot many threes. On two attempts a game, he shot 34%. He's right. Going to have to up that volume at the next level. I am with you. That's the reason why I kept him off my list for bigs, is I don't think he's physical enough.
No.
Like, he's not big enough to go to be a big. But, like, I can definitely see a world where he's playing the four.
Physically, he looks big enough. Physically, like, he's tall, he's got some broad shoulders, but he doesn't play like it. He doesn't play that big, and he doesn't play that physical. So you were right on the money with that one.
Yeah, like, I. So that's why he's eight. Like, it's hard for me to put him higher. Not that I've thought about it, but like, I do think the rebounding and the shot blocking for someone of his size
Yeah.
It's something that does like stand out. I don't think he, I want to know what the splits are. I'd have to look that up around the rim. Like when I watch him, he's good, not great.
Right.
But again, for someone who's 6'9", like
needs to be better
that I could live with. He's
not, yeah, it needs to be better for that size,
the American, which is a good conference. Like,
right.
I don't know. That's why I have him. That's why I have him 8. And then I have Darian 9. I don't know that. Yeah. To your point, he is a little bit of a tough eval.
Yeah, it's definitely a tough eval for me. I'm going on complete potential alone with this next guy. All potential, because I rarely get to see him play. And when he's played, he hasn't played that well. It would be Hugo Gonzalez. Hugo Gonzalez would be my 9th.
Okay.
And it's strictly on his talent and potential alone. Not anything I've seen that's been like, this guy's going to be great. You know what that tells me? I'm not picking these guys in the draft. That's what that tells me. Who's your 10th?
This one was so tough. I'm pulling up his numbers really quick. It's Milan Manchilovic.
Oh, have you watched any of him?
I have, and he
is—he's
Deadeye.
Milan Manchinovich.
He's just a bit like, he's a solid defender. He's on one of the best defensive teams in the country.
Oh, the Iowa State kid.
Yeah, he is a sniper. Like that's what he does, and so it's like, I don't know, 2-year player, a guy who a big wing who can shoot.
Yeah,
like, that's my analysis. I have to watch more of him though.
I got to do the same. I got to get my eyes on him also.
But he, whenever I have watched him, he's Deadeye.
Is there anything
a pretty quick he brings to the table? Like a relatively high release.
Is there anything else he brings to the table other than the 3-point shooting?
Not anything that's incredibly tangible now.
Mm. That's interesting. Do you think a team takes a swing on a big that just shoots threes but doesn't defend, doesn't rebound, doesn't facilitate? That's the question.
Because that's what teams do in today's NBA.
Now, that's fair. That's a fair point. That's a fair point. can he defend bigger players?
Whenever I've watched him, like I can't say I've isolated him a whole lot. He's okay. It's nothing like, I'd have to do a bigger deep dive into it. Like he's 6'8", but like to me he's skinny for someone who is 6'8". And he's not like a 3-level scorer. If anything, he's like a 2-level scorer, but like he's not
right
overly physical with how he plays. Maybe I'm not giving him enough credit, but whenever I've watched him, he's a sniper. Like that's just
gotcha.
Or that's like the skill that he does bring. Like he'll space the floor.
Yeah. Does he do any of it on the move?
Yeah, he does.
Okay. Well, that's good.
But it's not, most of it is spot up from what I have seen, but some of it is on the move. Yeah.
That's good though. That is definitely a plus. That'll get you a look.
Yeah, but like, again, if I'm just throwing a dart for someone late in the second round, sure.
So speaking of that, I think Mackenzie Mbako goes back to school. So I would take Lindenborg as my 10th.
Okay.
Yeah, Lindenborg would be last on my board. For all the reasons we talked about, the versatility, the ability to do a little bit of everything, but like I said, I'm not sold on any of it at the same time. So, you know, that type of positional size, I guess you can take a swing on it.
Yeah.
And he's 23 by the time the season starts.
Yaxel? Oh, yeah. You're talking about Lindenborg?
Yep.
For some reason, I thought you were talking about Mbako, and I was just like,
oh, no. He'll
be 23?
No. Mbaku's going to be 21 by the time the NBA season starts.
Right. I was like, wait, I thought he was a sophomore. Another guy who teams may consider, this was a guy who I watched probably the less of the names that we just mentioned, but Sanford, who's another, like, if you're just looking for shooting.
Yeah. Peyton, I'm not a fan, but yeah, I'm not a fan.
He does have the pedigree of a shooter, I think.
He does, and last year he was getting buzz, and he went back to school because he wasn't getting the right, you know, he wasn't hearing the right things. And I'm not sold on him. I don't think he does enough defensively. I don't think he's good enough with the ball in his hands. I don't think he's quick enough to create separation in the NBA. I don't love his measurables. For a guy that's 6'8", he has a 6'8 wingspan. So he doesn't even have a big wingspan. His lane agility was terrible. It was like 11.57. Not great. But he is a shooter. He is billed as a shooter. But you know what he's shooting from three this season?
How? What, 30? I just saw it, 33%.
Yeah. Gross. Not a fan, dude. Anyway, that's our show for today. It was a quick one because I really want to watch this Texas game. Anything that you want to close with, Matt?
Do you know what the score is?
I can find out for you right now. It is, hit refresh, 13-12.
Oh, okay. So it just started.
Yeah, Trey Johnson's already up to 5 points. He's 2 for 5, 1 for 2 from three, 1 rebound, 1 steal.
Okay. Not to plug my own degeneracy over here, but I did bet Texas +6.5. That's neither here nor there. You could find me at NPH_824_ on Twitter. I don't even know if you asked me to plug that, but I'm just doing it as a segue to get off my degeneracy. You could find me. That's where you can find me at on Twitter. You could find me at howtohoops.com, mountainwestconnection.com. Mountain West tournament's going on, people. Going on.
Woo! Donovan Dent. Woo!
Yeah, Donovan Dent's on right now. They're up. Oh wow, that was a quick. They're up 15 against San Jose State, who's not very good, but it was like,
yeah,
it was tied when we got on.
Gotcha.
So that didn't expect that, I guess. But
I like it.
They were 15.5 point favorites, so maybe it's not surprising. But they're still like 16 minutes.
A lot of time.
The Mountain West tournament is going on. Nevada does play Colorado State today. So if Nick Clifford has like 34, 12, and 5 or whatever, don't be surprised. You can find me at VendettaSportsMedia.com, HotHoops.com, MountainWestConnection.com, as well as playback.tv/5RSN. And playback.tv/troops profile, which we are on right now. So if you're not on it
now,
literally get on it right now, or someone's going to come knocking at your door. Probably Adele. Just kidding. He actually won't do that. But.
You never know. No, I'm just kidding. No, I wouldn't do that. I do not endorse that message. But yeah, man, thanks for coming and you know, being my co-host as always, Matt. I'm Digital Adele. Find me anywhere social media platforms are found. Twitter, Blue Sky, Instagram, all that jazz, YouTube at Hoops Profile, and playback.tv/Hoops Profile as well. I'll see you guys next time. Enjoy the tournament.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.